This is Power for Living, the Bible teaching ministry of Christ the King Church in Wakefield, Massachusetts. I'm your host, Feliciano Segundo, and our teacher is Father Michael Carl. So get out your Bibles and let's get started.
Well, good morning, everyone. We are continuing in our series called Authentic Faith, and it's lessons from the first letter from John. And today's passage is 1 John 2:24 to chapter 3, verse 6. Therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. These things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie. And just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. Behold what manner of love the Father has given, is bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. Now, what word continuously seems to appear in this passage that we heard the same word again and again and again?
Sin.
Besides that?
Abide.
Abide. Now, that's a clear, necessary, and important word. Now, what John's talking about here in 1 John 2:24 is that, therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. Now, what does John mean by the beginning here? Because obviously, since he is writing to this circuit of churches that are in Asia Minor, which is now Turkey, and it's that circuit of churches that are in the chapters 2 and 3 of Revelation, he's writing to them, so they did not get the gospel at the, quote, beginning. So what is John talking about? What he's talking about here is the first word they heard of the gospel that was taught to them first, what they heard the truth of initially, the first truth of the gospel that was preached to them. So I know that I'm repeating myself. So this is what he's talking about here. And so he's also getting at the fact that, therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. Why would he say that? Well, it's important that he say that simply because there were at that time already all kinds of people who were preaching different gospels. Different gospels. You remember Paul talking to the Galatians in his letter? He said, let anyone who preaches to you any gospel other than what you heard from me, let him be accursed. Or the word could be anathema. Does anybody know what anathema means? It's like you are like you have the plague. Stay away. As far as you can get. Get away from me. You are dirt on my shoes. That's what anathema means. It means a complete rejection of that person. And Paul is telling those Galatians, if you hear anything else, let that person be accursed or anathema. Now, what were the false teachers talking about back then? Well, they're a lot like what we hear today. And there are all kinds of competing messages of religious nature today, right? We have people who are saying, you know, the New Age Jesus. But then there are those who are reflective of the work of 19th and early 20th century writer Rudolf Bultmann, whose mission was to what he called demythologize the gospel. Well, what does he mean by that? Well, he meant that he wants to remove all of the miraculous stuff and just have the ethical teachings of Jesus. And by the way, one of our founding fathers, Thomas Jefferson, rewrote the Gospels, and he did the same thing. He took out all of the miracles and just included Jesus' ethical teaching. Now, there are those who say they're searching for the historical Jesus. Now, what that means is, and that's still pretty prevalent today, what that means is the Jesus that actually existed in history. And what those people are trying to do is separate the historical Jesus from the miracle-working Jesus, which we know you can't do. But they're trying to just to focus on the Jesus of history, that, as the Jesus seminar one time taught, that Mediterranean peasant who walked the earth for a few years saying some really profound stuff, at least we think they did, so they teach, and then he kind of disappeared from the scene. Now, if you spend a lot of time on social media, you will find out that there are all kinds of people on there, and especially on what's called now X, formerly known as Twitter, who are basically denying the faith. They're saying there's no evidence that Jesus ever existed, or there's no evidence that Jesus rose from the dead. And so they're saying basically the same thing. You know, didn't Solomon cover that in Ecclesiastes by saying, what did he say? There's nothing new under the sun. The lie that the devil has been telling for centuries is the same lie. It's like, you don't need to believe in this Jesus because he was just this dude who just went around saying some profound stuff. Other than that, he's no better than any of the other religious leaders or founders of various religious sects. So that's what John is writing against here. He's saying, abide in the teaching that I am giving you. And not only that, what does he say also? He says, you not only get the Son, but you get the Father too. And that is in agreement with what Jesus said, if you've seen me, you have seen the Father. And John's telling us and echoing that by saying, if you abide in the teaching that I gave you, not only will you get the Son, but you'll get the Father too. Now, we heard this word abide and again and again and again. And not only that, you recall our gospel reading for this morning. This is where Jesus said, abide in me and I in you. So what does abide mean? See, we got it's this really nice spiritual sounding term, but what does it mean? It means, and then let's say the Greek word for this is meno. And it means, and I don't mean the little fish, I mean M-E-N-O, meno. And it means stick with this. it means to remain, to abide, to tarry, not to depart, to continue to be present. Now, most Westerners have this thing where when we hear something, we hear it, we acknowledge it, we hear that the insight, we hear the insight get explained, we hear a fact and we say, that's interesting. But then we move on and it leaks right outside our ears. It's an approach that has been shaped profoundly by our evening news and now by all the snippets of stuff you can read on the internet. And then we kind of move on. But that is precisely the opposite of what Jesus meant by abide. It means continuing in his word. And that's a deep abiding. It implies far more than, sure, I read that. It's awesome. And then forgetting it. If you stick with this, Jesus says, and then John also says here, if you continue, tarry, abide in, and linger with the truth. And only then is that truth that Jesus spoke about, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And so one of the ways we can understand the term abiding with our new colloquial phrases or whatever, it means hanging out. We know what hanging out is. It means to go hang out, go with your friends and sit somewhere for hours on end, remaining with them, spending time with them, and basically hanging out. So what we need to do and what we need to learn to do, according to John here, is to hang out with the Word of God. Hang out in the presence of God. When you are doing your devotions, spending time with the Lord, taking the time, not rushing through saying, I got to get to my doctor's appointment in 15 minutes. So, yeah, I've got a couple of minutes here. I got to read my Bible verse and then going on. That's not what it says. It means hanging out with the Word of God, dealing with it, listening to it, absorbing it, letting it clean you out, basically, letting it root out all that stuff that needs to go, letting it purge you of those bad habits that you've picked up along the way. And I know everyone here in the Christ the King congregation doesn't have any bad habits. So this may not apply to you, but yes, it does if you have a bad habit. That Word of God purges that from you if you remain and abide in that teaching. Now, after you get the abiding part down, that's when we have to come and embrace the work of Christ in our lives. We need to come to the place where we allow Jesus the leeway to do some work in us, to change us and to transform us. Now, 26 and 27, these things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. I think we've covered that pretty well already because we're talking here about the people who are out there, but this is a little different. These are the people who are preaching all of those false gospels, but they're not only just telling them to you, they're trying to get you to follow them. They're trying to lie to you to get you to off track so that they can recruit you for their whatever cause they're in. And so you got to be careful. All that glitters is not gold. How many of us remember, you know, when we were going to school hearing about what's called fool's gold, which is actually iron pyrite, even though it has this nice yellow luster to it, and you're tempted to go, gold! But no, you take it to the office or some jewelry guy around here, and he'll look at that and say, this is worth about 75 cents. And you say, what are you talking about? Well, it's iron pyrite. See, that's what we have to be careful of, is there are people out there that will have these really slick, nice-sounding messages that sound so good. Don't you wish you could just release all of that tension? And they're trying to tell you they want you to do yoga, and not just the positions and the exercises, but the meditation that goes along with it. And, you know, they make that message sound really good. You know, nobody would do that if it didn't sound appealing. That sounds too good. I don't want to do that. Now, nobody would do that. So they're trying to make us follow them and deceive us in the process. Now, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you. There's that word abide again. And you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. Now, that you don't need anybody to teach you doesn't mean we don't need to have sermons. We don't need to read valid Christian books by reliable writers, that we don't need any of that. What John is getting at here again is that if you know the truth, you will not fall for the lie. If you know the real truth, you will not fall for the deception. And I know I've used this before, and it's overly worked, and it's been used way too often. But how, when the Secret Service dudes were training for their service and trying to detect counterfeit, they had them spend all day just holding and fiddling with and handling money. So that if they ever found a counterfeit bill, they will know immediately that it's counterfeit, because they are so familiar with the real thing that they would know it was a fake. Not only that, you know, that's something that we also need to consider, is that we need to be so close in our relationship to Jesus that if somebody comes to us with some other sparkling sounding message, we'll know, get away. Because we'll know that they're full of it. We'll know that they are not telling us the truth. Now, verse 28 talks about abiding again, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed at his coming. If we are following Christ, we will love him. We will not be taken aback when we receive any kind of opposition for believing in him. We will be willing and able to withstand all the jabs, all of the insults, and all of the put downs that people will try to give us for being a Christian. Oh, you don't believe in that, do you? I mean, this is the 21st century. We're supposed to be more sophisticated than still believe in those superstitions. But we'll know, and we won't be swayed by any of that. And that's what John means. You won't need anybody to teach you, because we'll have the Holy Spirit in us, and we should have the Holy Spirit in us, because if we came to faith, we have the Holy Spirit, but we should also have that continuing, ongoing anointing in us, where we have what Paul wrote about in 1 Corinthians 12, the gift of discernment, to be able to know the difference, to be able to tell the real from the fake. Now, chapter 3, verse 1, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. We should be so different that the people of the world will be able to know. And that, you know, if you remember, if you've ever gone and gotten a nice outfit, a new suit of clothes, and you've had your hair cut, which I can use, and when you've had a new suit or something, and you look really sharp, and somebody looks at you and says, look at you. That's what they should say about us in our walk with Jesus. Look at you. Because we are so genuine and real and have the Holy Spirit in us so much that they can look at us and just know that there's something clearly, purely different about us. Now, he says here, beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed that what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. That's when Jesus returns. We should be so much like him that we'll automatically be regarded as a servant of his. And anyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Now, verse 4 says, whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness. And sin is lawlessness. Yeah, because actually what sin is what R.C. Sproul called cosmic treason against God. Lawless. We are deliberately choosing to do something that is not in the will of God. We're deliberately choosing to do something that we know instinctively is wrong. And so that's why it's called lawlessness, because we're deliberately doing what we know we should not do. Like when you were a kid and your mama told you to don't put your hand in the cookie jar before dinner, as you'll ruin your dinner. Well, we knew we weren't supposed to do that, but were we tempted to do it anyway? See, that's what we're talking about here on a very simple level. But we are doing something, if we reach in there and grab that cookie, we are doing something we know we should not do. And so we are breaking an order of our parents. And that constitutes lawlessness, when we're breaking the law. Now, he goes on here, whoever abides in him does not sin. Huh? I mean, didn't John say in the previous chapter, if you say that you have no sin, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. No, that's not what he's talking about here. What he's saying is that we will, because we have learned to abide in the Word and abide with the Father and abide with Jesus, that we no longer have a desire to sin. It's like, no, I don't want to do that. We have this desire to please God. We have this desire to walk with the Lord. We have this desire to live in such a way that it honors Him. Now, does everybody remember last week the illustration I gave on what that family did during the garbage strike? You know, they put the trash in a box and wrapped it up and put it on the front seat of their car. Well, let's revisit that for a second here. But in this case, what we're talking about is the box is still filled with garbage, but let's imagine that we're the group that pinched the box. But let's also add to that the fact that there's some old, stale meat. There's some dead fish in that box. And let's see that it's just totally grotesque on the inside. Now, we have that box on the seat in the car, and we're driving along, and we start going. Now, we know now that that box has something in it that's totally gross, right? Yeah. Are we going to have the desire to open the box? No, right? This is what John's talking about here. We no longer have the desire to sin, because we have gotten so close that we can smell the rottenness of the sin, and we no longer desire to bust open that box and to imbibe in what's in it. We don't want to sin anymore because we know that it is disgusting and that it really displeases God. It makes God very disappointed in us because we've gotten so close that he's, you know, expecting growth. But if we give in to that temptation and we tear open that box and we stick our hands in that nasty stuff, we're going to be tainted, right? And we're going to smell like dead fish. Although there's some of us in here who like the smell of fish. I'm not going to say who. But we will be tainted. And that's what happens when we give in to the temptation to sin. But what John is talking about is that we don't want to sin anymore. We no longer have that desire to participate in things that are morally compromising, that hurt our souls, that wear us down, and then eventually wreak their destruction in our hearts and our minds and wear us out. We don't want to do that. We want to keep the preciousness of our relationship with Jesus alive, growing, prospering, and ever deepening in the intimacy we have with Him, to the point where, yet, people start to notice that there's something beautiful that's taking place on the inside of us. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for this week's edition of Power for Living. If you happen to miss any of our other programs, be sure to go to our podcast page at christthekingnorthshore.podbean.com. And you can also visit our website at www.ctknorthshore.org. If this program has been a blessing, feel free to let us know. Write us at Power for Living, care of Christ the King Church, 4 Railroad Avenue, Suite 309 in Wakefield, Massachusetts, 01880. Or you can also send us an email at christthekingnorthshore@gmail.com. You can be a part of this gospel ministry by becoming a patron of Power for Living. You can find out how by clicking the Become a Patron button at the top of our podcast page. That's it for this week, and until next time, remember that Jesus is your power for living.